Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
He's a three-time NBA champion, and he's ours now. Outstanding NBA analyst and just a damn fine human being. Danny Green returns here to ESPN Radio with Matt Jones. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. He's in for Amber Wilson, as we are presented in part by Progressive Insurance. And, Danny, let's begin with LeBron James. Over the weekend, we had that game here on ESPN Radio, Lakers-Nuggets. LeBron goes for 40,000 career points, and he's also, I don't know how many people realize this, man, he's fourth all-time in assists in the history of the NBA. You played a long time. You got three rings, man. If you can, try and sum up what we are watching right now in LeBron James creeping up on the age of 40.
You're watching something you'll never see again, basically. Yeah. One of its kind. Unbelievable. You're witnessing greatness right before your eyes. His longevity, his approach, this legendary stuff that takes place day in and day out. To be 39 years old and still doing it at the level he's doing it at, I said, I don't think this is the one that, this is a career, the best career to me by any player, hands down. It's hard to easily put him in the GOAT debate. You know, it depends on who, when you were raised, your era. Arguably the best player to ever play, but to me, definitely have the best career to ever, you know, play the game.
You played against him. You played with him. You won a title in the bubble with LeBron with the Lakers. The difference of playing against him when you're out there and then when you're with him day in, day out, what's that like?
I mean, playing against him, obviously, is super competitive. Playing with him, a lot of fun, man. Makes the game easier. I mean, both are enjoyable. So this is a kid watching him when I was growing up and idolizing him, inspiring to be like him, and even still now as an adult, inspiring to be like him because, you know, trying to play as long as he's playing, me, myself, trying to continue to play at this age is unbelievable. It's not easy to do. And he's been amazing for years before I got into the league, and probably, who knows, he'll probably still be there after I'm done playing as long as he's been going. He's trying to play with Bronny. A lot of fun.
What are you, 14 years in now? Is that right?
This would have been 15 for me, man, if I was still playing right now. So still waiting to see if that may happen. I'm not giving up on it, but yeah, I'm 15 years in. I think he's 21, so he's still some seasons ahead of me, and that he might still be playing another 2 or 3 years the way he's going.
That's absolutely remarkable. And yeah, literally, I mean, just one of the best to ever do it. 40,000 points, and again, fourth all-time in assists in the history of the NBA. His former teammate and competitor Danny Green joining us here on ESPN Radio. Celtics and Warriors. I mean, how do you explain what we saw yesterday with the Seas and Golden State, where now Boston has beaten it not one, not two, but three teams, including the Warriors, by at least 50 points this year. The lightest one, again, Golden State just yesterday or last night. What do you make of what Boston's doing right now in the middle of this 11-game win streak?
They're doing historic numbers, man, but I said I can't take the game against Golden State into heavy consideration with the fact that they're shorthanded. They're down a couple of bodies. Kaczynski's not there. Wiggins not there. They're obviously a different team. They're just not what the normal Golden State standard has been for what we've seen in the last decade. But Boston's still unbelievably, you know, they're playing at an unbelievable level, high level, beating teams other than them pretty handedly. But once again, we've seen them be pretty good in the past. I remember when I was in Philly, they beat us pretty badly when we got the James Harden trade before James could play. I think we might have lost by 40 or 50. So we've seen how good they can be in the past and how sharp they've been. They're a little redefined, but they still have to win one for us to consider them one of the greatest teams in the history of the game. They have to get one, if not, maybe a couple, because, you know, you got to put them in the conversation. In terms of regular season, the people put them in the conversation with the Bulls and also the Warriors of 2017. They have to win one, you know, in order to solidify this type of season.
And if you can elaborate a little bit more on that, because right now they're sitting here at, 48-12, by far the best record in the NBA. But to your point, they've come close. They haven't gotten there. So when it comes to solidifying what we're watching in the regular season, Is this a, I don't want to say, for lack of a better term, a must win, meaning the Larry O for the Boston Celtics to simplify what they're doing? Okay, go ahead. Elaborate. Go ahead.
It's definitely a win or bust type of season. I spoke about it earlier with Perk. If they don't win, they're going to, a lot of people, especially within the organization and outside of fans, they're going to look at it as a bust. You can't be 6-7 games ahead of everybody in the league, have the best season, beat everybody by 20, 30, and sometimes 50, and not win a title. So, and they've been doing this for the last couple of years, made the trades, got the pieces you wanted. You got Porzingis, you got Jrue Holiday. So there's no excuses at this point. I guess the last thing I would say would be coaching. They need more coaching experience, but they have everything you've asked for and needed. So you got to get it done.
Danny Green, three-time NBA champion, joining us here on ESPN Radio, getting you caught up on everything going on in the ballet. And yeah, as I mentioned, you've won it. You know what it takes. When you're on a team like Boston, you've been on some great teams. How much do you feel what you just mentioned in that conversation outside of that locker room that's being said about them?
How much do you feel about the conversations outside of the locker room?
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, daily. You know, you can't hide from it now. You know, with today's world, the media is all around you. Social media is all around you. You're going to see it. Back when we were younger, when I was younger anyway, D'Antonio, it wasn't as big on social media, so you can kind of ignore it a little bit. But still, people, if you're a fan of the sport, you watch TV every day, or if you watch any type of sports, any of the games, guess what? They're going to be talking about you. So you're going to hear it. You're going to feel it. There's going to be, especially for a young group that's been there, would say there a couple times, but they've been in the finals, Eastern Conference Finals a couple times, you know, there's pressure. So they're definitely hearing it and feeling it, I wouldn't say more than usual, but the normal, because for the last, you know, decade or so, social media has been at an all-time high.
Danny, you also are watching a team that's behind behind the Celtics in the Eastern Conference. It's starting to click a little bit. They've won 5 straight, 7 of our last 10, and of course I'm talking about the Milwaukee Bucks. What is the biggest difference you're seeing with the Bucks right now compared to the team Doc Rivers took over right before the All-Star break?
I can't grade them right now. I'm not going to grade them on the 5 games they played, because I think 2 of the games were fell out, one of them Chicago.
Yep.
Minnesota was the only good win or team that was a really good team in that 5-game stretch. I want to see what they tested tonight against the Clippers and so on and the rest of the way. I want to see how they test the matchup against those other groups, because they have a great team. I want to see adjustments and how defensively they match up or make the right adjustments to teams that are heavy-oriented, guard-heavy. Because we know that they lack the size, they lack the defensive fortitude to keep up with the Bostons, the Clippers, the teams that have great guard play. Because, you know, obviously Dame is a great scorer, but defensively we know they give up some size. With him, Pat Bev, Connaughton, Jay Crowder is the only guy that comes to mind that can give them, you know, a little resistance. Chris Middleton, of course, but I think they need more depth at that position defensively.
The Nuggets get a ton of love. Obviously, they're starting to hit their stride, got over that malaise a bit. Now they've won 6 straight. You know, the Clippers are sitting there with a 4 seed right now in the West. But OKC and many, the T-Wolfies, right, are atop that division. And Minnesota's only a game back in the loss column from OKC. Both have 42 wins. What's it going to take for the Thunder and the T-Wolves to get more love and more respect, not just in the media, but maybe even around, you know, from the fringe fan to the diehard fan to other teams in the league? Because these two squads, man, Danny, they're playing great ball.
They are, man. I think they're earning respect day in and day out, little by little. But I think they have to get a couple playoff wins before people, you know, take them seriously. So it's tough, but it's going to take them to getting at least second round of the playoffs. For teams or the world, not only their fan base, but to respect them in that manner.
What about Denver, dude? When you play against Jokic, does he look like he's exhausted in warm-ups, and you look up at the end of the game, he's got like 38, 18, and 10?
Yeah, we take that. He does it so easily. Him and Luka, their numbers are like video game numbers, unbelievable, and they do it so often. Shea as well, he's become one of those guys like, oh, he had 30 a night. It's like, it's not even impressive. It should be impressive that they're doing it so consistently. I'm just taking it for granted, man.
You're like, man, how did that dude hang 38 on us? Right? I mean, yeah. it's effortless. It's crazy.
And then people are like, oh, you know, people just scroll by and like, oh, okay, he had a good night. But then they'll go, oh, David, okay, CB has 17, 20. Oh, man, he had a great, you know, like, so because you're used to seeing it so often, you look more and you're more impressed by the guys that don't, you're saying that don't have or don't have those nights consistently or not expected to do it when somebody else has 30. So when you see, oh, Josh Hart had 19 rebounds or so-and-so had 31 rebounds, it's like Jokic has been doing 20 rebounds for a while now, and he's been getting triple-doubles We see somebody get triple-double, you're like, man, that's a hell of a game. Because they do it so often, it's just like, oh, another night at the office for these guys.
It's amazing, man. Danny, we greatly appreciate it. Man, we'd love to see you back in the league, but if not, good to have you here at ESPN Radio as an NBA analyst. Thank you so much for your time, as always, here on ESPN Radio, man. Have a great night.
Thank you. Appreciate it, man. You too.
Yeah, it's our pleasure, man. Danny Green joining us here on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. See why over 28 million drivers trust Progressive to stay protected on the road. See for yourself at progressive.com. When you return, a three-time Super Bowl champion will tell you why Russell Wilson failed in Denver.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Quarterback Russell Wilson will be a free agent for the first time in his NFL career. The Broncos will release him after the new league year begins March 13th.
What makes him so attractive now is this. The Denver Broncos will release him. So any team that is interested in signing him will not have to compensate the Broncos with any draft picks or players, unlike any team that might want to trade for Justin Fields.
It's the largest dead cap hit in NFL history. That's how much they did not want Russell Wilson. Why Sean Payton did not want him anymore.
Oh, it's pouring in Denver right now, without a doubt. With Matt Jones in for Amber Wilson, I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. Thank you for spending part of your evening or afternoon
song?
With us.
This is bothering me. Who sings this?
You know, oh, the greatness.
Tim Drive.
The greatness of Luke Combs.
Okay. This is the one I like. That's right. This is the one Luke Combs song I like. Okay, I'll take it.
You don't like Fast Car?
Well, so I didn't. I actually hated it. But then the fact that he sang it with her and they did it so beautifully, Tracy Chapman, that made me appreciate. I didn't like the remake because I love the original so much, but their duet was beautiful, and so I'm going to give him a pass.
I'm sure he appreciates it.
Well, I mean, he was waiting to hear if I would, but, but I am going to let him go.
He's been sitting on pins and needles, Matt.
He's been sitting at home going, look, I have a successful career, one of the biggest stars in country music, but does Matt Jones think I'm okay? That's what he was waiting on. Luke, rest easy. You're fine.
That duet with Tracy Chapman put him over the edge for you.
For me, it did. It did.
Luke Combs is awesome. Luke Bryan. No. That's Velveeta melted all over a stage. Luke Combs is man, that dude, he can sing, he can pick it. I mean, come on.
Yeah, well, we'll agree to disagree.
Okay. We're moving on in a hurry, in other words.
Before I say something,
before Matt says something that gets him sued. by Luke Combs and company. All right, so people wonder why Russell Wilson flamed out in Seattle. Well, go out and talk to any of his former teammates. They'll tell you. They're an open book about why he flamed out in Seattle. He beyond wore out his welcome. Then he goes to Denver on this remarkable deal, which guaranteed him over $240 million. You know, he's made over $303 million in the NFL. There's only three players in the history of the game that have made more money in the NFL than Russell Wilson. So here he is now punted from his second team to the point where he has an $85 million cap hit because they cut him. We thought Matt Ryan last year or Aaron Rodgers, right, at $40 million. Well, I guess Matt Ryan was 2 years ago. Aaron Rodgers last year. We thought $40 million was a massive cap hit to jettison a player. Man, that's JV. I mean, that's less than half of what Denver just had to absorb by saying, Russell, get the hell out of here. And you wonder why? Here's Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champion, does a show on 104.3 The Fan in Denver, won two Super Bowls as a Denver Bronco, explains what happened with Russ and the Broncos.
The issue was there are many times where things are open and Russ just doesn't throw them. It's almost like I don't want to throw that or I don't see that. And so let me go make something better happen. And if you look at all the sacks, because consistently 45 sacks a year in Seattle, you know, here in Denver as well. And I talked to the Seahawks personnel about this. I talked to their coaching staff about this. I said, hey, man, in my film study, the last three games that I've looked at, you know, every time I did a game, I'd say a good 30 to 35% of every sack given up in Seattle over those years and here in Denver as well is 100% Russ's fault. He's taken away a three-step drop where he decides not to throw the ball. He spins out of the back of the pocket where a tackle is setting up on a short set, and all of a sudden he takes a sack for 7 yards, minus seven, and you can't function that way. You can't. It's really hard to overcome those mistakes.
And you know what, Matt? I was listening to Drew Brees in Super Bowl week on Carlin versus Joe, and he basically said the exact same thing. When they asked him what happened with Russell and his former coach Sean Payton, he wasn't getting, you know Drew, Matt, he's not going to bash anybody. But what he did say was, I know what that offense looks like and what it's supposed to look like and how crisp it's supposed to be. And that wasn't it. End of conversation. It just wasn't it.
I like the circles you run in that you say things to me like, you know Drew Brees. You know how he is. I do not know Drew Brees, and I've never met him. But I know you have, so I can't really speak to what Drew Brees is like. But as far as your
point. He's one of the nicest guys on the planet. He's not publicly going to rip another quarterback. He's not going to do it.
He looks like he gets his hair cut at Supercuts. He eats at the Applebee's. Like, he looks like that guy. I get it. But I would say that it is interesting to me the way former players, I talked about this earlier with Richard Sherman, Schlereth, now you're mentioning Drew Brees, how quick they are to, even in a nice way, crush Russell Wilson. You don't see guys do that play. Now, you'll see, yapping heads like me do it, but guys that played the game tend to have a lot more respect and sort of deference to players, especially great ones at the end of their career. But they don't give that to Russ. They all want to seem to point out, hey, that dude, a lot of it's on him. I just find that interesting. It makes me sort of wonder clearly NFL guys talk to each other, right? One time I used to host a show with Dan Orlovsky. I'm not even going to say who the quarterback was. But he would say sometimes, the NFL knows about that dude. He wasn't talking about Russell Wilson, but part of me wonders, Ian, when it comes to Russell Wilson, is it one of these things that the NFL knows about that dude, and now that, it's just all coming to light?
Yeah. I mean, and look, he was on a Hall of Fame-type trajectory in Seattle. They gave up. Not forget what Denver paid him, in north of $200 million. They gave up five draft picks and three players to get Russell Wilson. To flame out in 2 years to the point where they want him so far away from that facility, not only did they give up all those draft picks and three players and over $240 million, but now they're going to have to absorb $85 million.
How much
in
did
a
you
cap
say he's
hit.
Made in his career?
$303 million.
Like that's like Greeny McAfee money. Like, I mean, that's like that's insane money. I am amazed that he's made that, because he's certainly not the fourth best quarterback. But to take that cap hit and to basically be like, we're better off with this money being dead than paying it to you, is a pretty damning critique.
Yeah, and get the hell out of here, right? I mean, like now, like don't let the door hit you where the good Lord splits you, right, on the way out. Just get out. Gone. Yeah. See you. So long. So
let me ask you this. Do you think he is a regular starter for an NFL team again? Not like a fill-in role, but like a regular everyday starter for an NFL team again.
All right. I would not take him. I would take right now of the quarterbacks that are out there that you can go sign or trade for. Baker Mayfield's on the market. I would take Baker Mayfield over Russell Wilson right now, because Baker went out to the L.A. Rams, and when Sean McVay told him, man, you are so tense, just go have fun. And he went and had fun again in Tampa on a prove-it contract, and he proved that when he's healthy, we see the guy that we saw early on in his career in Cleveland before he got injured. Not hurt, but injured. Now he's healthy, and we saw him, you know, lead a team to the playoffs. I would take Kirk Cousins coming off an Achilles over Russell Wilson. I would go and give up a late second, early third round pick and a sweetener for Justin Fields before I had Russell Wilson. What about you?
I'm the same way, but you didn't answer my question. Will he start regularly for an NFL team again? Will somebody buy the idea of I get a
someone
future
will.
Hall of
no,
Famer someone as my quarterback?
Oh, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer anymore. I mean, he was on that trajectory.
No,
I don't think he's there now. No. Nope.
So you think, like, when we look back at the career of, say, Matthew Stafford, we'll say that's a better career than Russell Wilson's?
For me, yeah. But for me, yeah. But you know what? Remember, I'm biased. My brother coached Stafford for 6 years. So
no, I think Stafford's a Hall of Famer. But if you think Stafford's a Hall of Famer, which I do, I don't know. I mean, we'll see. We're living in the moment. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. But I do think somebody is going to roll the dice on him again.
I think there was
because I will say this. As bad as he was in Denver, people forget he played better towards the end of the year. And, like, there was, you know, you thought there was some positivity going in those last few weeks.
If the question on the table is, which it is, it's not even an if, it's going to be a starter again, I'd say yes. Over 60 quarterbacks started in the NFL.
Yeah, but I mean not as a fill-in. Like somebody goes, this is Russell Wilson's team.
Here's a problem. Was he going to be willing to go and compete somewhere? I don't think so. I don't think he wants that.
Look, if I made that kind of money, first of all, I don't understand people who make that kind of money who still want to do things.
Go get hit.
If I made that kind of money, I can tell you what I wouldn't be doing. 7 to 10 on Monday night on ESPN radio. Like the day I have $300 million, I am not filling in on Amber and Ian. I'm just saying, if I'm Russell, don't fill in, man. Go do something else. Have fun with your life.
I'm going to tell you this. If I hit the Powerball tonight, which is not even close to what he made, I think the take-home is $220 million, I will not be here tomorrow hosting Amber and
just
Ian.
Just walk out and say, see y'all. It's been nice.
Not even giving you the 2 weeks, Coach. I promise you.
Coming up next. Like Chef.
It's the ESPN Radio.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There every good country song
go ahead,
starts
Matt.
With having Prada. What is this?
This is Ian if he wins the Powerball. It's Maren Morris, Rich.
Actually, I do. Maren Morris is all right. Loretta Lynn, I don't think, sang a lot of songs about Prada, but I'm not sure. Dolly might have. So, you know, I don't know.
Dolly's royalty. Especially after the halftime show. On Thanksgiving at the Dallas Cowboys game, I mean, come on, man. I mean, there are only two people
in the entire United States that not one person would say a bad word about.
Dolly Parton, and
Willie Nelson. I don't think there are two people with more of 100% approval rating than Dolly Parton and Willie Nelson. Everybody hates everyone else. You can find someone that hates them. Nobody hates Dolly. Nobody hates Willie.
Man, I was told that you were at this event. We'll get to Big Deal, Not a Big Deal coming up in a moment, James.
Sorry, James.
Matt and I, James Steele.
I was at Willie's
90th birthday.
Okay, that's where I'm going. So hold on a second. So I'm watching that on my couch, and one, he can still pick it at 90, which is amazing. And as hard as that dude, I mean, that guy went harder than the average bear for a lot of years, right?
Still does.
And still getting it done at 90. So he is, he's looked, everybody says, you shouldn't drink that much, because your liver and kidneys. He went, okay, I'll tell you what, here's two football fingers. I'm going to do it my way, and I don't care. And here he is still at 90. Now, I'm watching it, and my favorite moment, and you were, I'm so jealous, because I'm a diehard Willie Waylon, Chris Christopherson, Johnny Cash, Highwayman type guy. When Snoop Dogg and Willie sang "Roll Me Up and Smoke Me When I'm Gone,"
yeah, roll me up and smoke me when I die.
Yep, come on, man,
that it was great.
Awesome.
Listen, I want you to just think about who was at that concert. And I was there, but it was two nights.
How did you land that one?
I know people. I don't know Drew Brees, but I know how to get into that concert. All right. So it was Kris Kristofferson, Keith Richards, George Strait, Dave Matthews, Sheryl Crow, the Dixie Chicks, Tyler Childers, Chris Stapleton, Sturgill Simpson. I mean, it's all of the Billy Strings, all of these people, and with Willie,
all of the Marahucci.
All of them there with Willie. The place, you got a contact high when you were within a 6-mile region of the place. It was awesome at the Hollywood Bowl. My favorite concert I've ever been to over two nights, and I loved it. It was great.
Who do you know?
Well, you know, when you – thank you to iHeartRadio for making that, for making that happen. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that on the air, but that's where my daily show is on.
Man, that's royalty right there. I mean, that doesn't get – so were you backstage?
No, I was not backstage.
Okay.
I was not able to do that. But, you know, some of those folks I just mentioned are from Kentucky, so that helps as well.
There you go. All right. Well, I mean, when it comes to Willie, that's living royalty. And that duet with Snoop Dogg, I mean, I fell off the couch laughing when they started picking it. It was absolutely awesome. Now, we get back to our regularly scheduled program so the Suits don't get angry with us, which they probably already are. Sports with James Steele. Big deal now.
It's making headlines.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
But is it a big deal or not a big deal with Amber and Ian?
James Steele has the questions. He is our producer. He attempts to keep us from doing things that we just did, where we go off on a tangent for 3 or 4 minutes, and sometimes it's a daunting task. Sorry, James and Rachel Robinson, our AP tonight. What we got for us, James? Fire away.
I allowed it. I gave you permission to do that.
All right.
So after we already did it, you're like, I allowed it.
I said it.
That's
before.
Way to you're assert like, your authority, James. I allowed it. That's how right. You said it. Yeah. Go ahead.
So whenever I got into work today, I was alerted to this sound from Chris Carlin. It was literally the last 30 seconds of Carlin versus Joe. Carlin sounds terrible. He had like laryngitis or something, but he fired off this take about JJ McCarthy, and we're going to listen to it. I just want both of you to react to it. Here we go.
JJ McCarthy was not asked to do a damn thing in college, not a damn thing. And you could say all you want that he's somebody that, you know, teams get enamored with around watching him at the combine. When are you hearing all this? Around the combine. That's when people get suckered in. That's when the old hook goes in the mouth. Pulls it right into the boat. He's a backup quarterback at best.
Okay.
Here's the thing. I would draft J.J. McCarthy if I was interested in losing. That's what I would do.
All right. All right, Ian. A lot to unpack there. The voice,
JJ McCarthy,
backup at best, and he would draft him if he was interested in losing. Big deal, not a big deal. Then those are the feelings about JJ McCarthy on Carlin versus Joe. Ian.
Well, clearly a big deal to Chris Carlin, who is obviously suffering from laryngitis or whatever. I know he's been under the weather, but maybe it's affecting the sensors from brain to mouth, because I like JJ McCarthy. He's 27-1 as a starter. When he's asked to throw the ball, he did it extraordinarily well, completing around 70% of his passes. But when you have Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards averaging over 6 yards a carry at Penn State, in the second half, you don't have to throw a pass. You just ran right over their butts and walked out with nearly a double-digit win on the road when, you know, Corum went for what? What was it, Matt? Like like 180, and Donovan Edwards had like 90.
You know, I don't remember all the stats of Michigan,
but
Penn State this year.
He was 70. You know, he only eight, you know, I do know this. J.J. McCarthy threw it 8 times.
Okay.
He was 7 for 8, never threw a pass in the second half because they ran it for like 250. So if you're going to hold that against J.J. McCarthy, go right ahead. I think the dude can spin it. I like him as a prospect.
Well, I think it is a big deal that he came into work sounding like that, because I can tell you I would not have come into work sounding like that. I don't think his opinion is a big deal because I think that was bizarre. Look, anybody who tells you that they know who's going to be good at quarterback is lying to themselves.
Amen.
Outside of about 3 guys in the last decade, everything's a guess. J.J. McCarthy, I don't know that I think he's definitely going to be good, but the idea that he's certain to be a failure – I look at the draft, and I am pretty good at picking out the bust. My bust is Drake May. Drake May didn't win in college. No, he didn't. He went to North Carolina. He wasn't particularly successful. He had a 59% completion percentage, and he really wasn't that great in his last 2 seasons. I don't get him. The other guys, we'll see what happens. But I'm not anti-McCarthy. I am, I think, having Drake May on bust watch.
Never saw him in person. That's why I judge a lot of the guys when it comes to the NFL draft. But Tim Hasselbeck loves Drake May, and he saw him a lot. So
he also loves Zach Wilson.
Did he?
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
Well,
oof.
Can't bat a thousand.
Can't win them all.
No, can't bat a thousand. Can't win them all. Whatever sports thing you want to say about it, that's what we'll say. The Jaguars on Twitter today wished
this is rough.
Defensive tackle. You know what's rough? Me trying to pronounce this guy's name. Folorunsu Fatukasi.
Well done.
Did I do it? Is that good?
Yes.
Close enough.
That's close enough.
Confidence.
All right, cool. Yeah. They wished him a happy birthday.
If you say
birthday.
It with confidence, that goes a long way. Everybody just believes
absolutely
it.
No confidence in me saying words correctly. But the Jaguars wished him a happy birthday today on Twitter. And then a couple hours later, the Jaguars released him. Matt, big deal, not a big deal? Getting
not a big deal.
Fired
Listen,
on your birthday.
First of all, well, maybe they should have waited until yesterday to let him go. But as far as sending him the birthday wish, I think that's totally fine. You know, I say happy birthday is the only reason I have Facebook, because it allows me to talk to people that I would never otherwise have a conversation with. There are tons of people who I couldn't tell you one thing that's happened in their life in 20 years, but every year I send them a little happy birthday with balloons to make sure that they know I exist. The Jaguars, they weren't interested in having a real friendship with the guy you mentioned. They just wanted to say happy birthday. They saw it on Facebook. They did it. Not a big deal. That's the only thing Facebook's good for, by the way, is birthdays.
I quit Facebook like 4 years ago.
Most people did, except our grandparents. But it still exists to me to remind me that the people I went to high school with have birthdays.
That is the only good thing about Facebook to this day. And that is the one thing, the only thing that I miss is the birthday reminder. So to your point, yeah, there you go. As far as
in my early days of radio, by the way, Ian, I would get on Facebook and just read everyone that had a birthday. It was my way of acknowledging their existence.
They're still on this planet?
Yes. I was like, happy birthday to all of you.
For him, I will say this. It's not as nearly as bad as what the Detroit Lions did to Dom Muehlbach. On his 40th birthday, they cut him. Balloons around the locker. He was Dan Campbell's teammate in Detroit, and Campbell cut him on his 40th birthday.
Wow, on his that 40th is, birthday.
On his, they had balloons in his locker, I mean, and everything. I mean, like, already, hey, happy 40th, old man.
You already kind of think your life is ending when you turn 40 if you get cut on the same day.
Life, I mean, you're the longest tenured Lion ever cut on your 40th birthday. Mule, we love you, buddy. All right, back to you, James.
I think I fell asleep on the floor during my 40th birthday.
I didn't think you were that old.
Well, yeah, I'm 40, yeah.
Yeah, you look good for 61.
Man, it's a hard 40. The WWE, we got Matt here. He's a wrestling guy. WWE today announced the first inductee into this year's Hall of Fame class. It's Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
Paul Heyman famously ran ECW and WrestleMania, which was out of Philadelphia. WrestleMania this year is in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Matt, big deal, not a big deal. Paul Heyman to the Hall of Fame.
Paul Heyman, I would say, along with Bobby the Brain Heenan, the best manager maybe of all time, and Bobby the Brain got in a few years back. So definitely should be in. Ran ECW. Probably more success than any independent organization has ever had. He's a great heel manager. He's one of the few people I've seen leave Stephen A. speechless on First Take, which is something in and of itself. So definitely, big deal. He should be in the Hall of Fame. Go get him, Paul Heyman, at Heyman Hustle.
What he said. There you go.
Do you even know who that is?
No.
How can you claim to be Southern and not know about wrestling? Like,
I do.
Like,
I was a Mid-South guy.
When you were growing
guy.
Up, you didn't watch wrestling?
Oh, yeah. We've had this conversation a lot. You just didn't listen.
Oh,
Mid-South
probably.
Wrestling, come back from church, went in my mom's study, and I would turn on the little TV and watch Ted DiBiase back in the day, Junkyard Dog. Mr. Wrestling number two. With Junkyard Dog, it lost a loser leave town
Mr.
match
Wrestling
to Butch
two.
Reed, and he came back as Stagger Lee. I'm going deep on you, right? So there you go.
That's like me creating a band and calling it Pearl Jam 2.
Right? Mr. He used to keep that foreign object in his knee pad, give you the knee lift, man. And he was a fat dude also, man. He had the white mask with a black outline. That was it, and a white trunks and a big old beer belly hanging over it. But he'd drop a knee on you in a heartbeat. All right, coming
he was
up.
No Mr. Wrestling number one.
Absolutely 100% correct. With Matt Jones in for Amber Wilson, I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. All right, coming up when you return, how Tom Selleck, a show called Wrestlers, and an awkward date all come together right here on ESPN Radio.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Nobody better than Dolly. You know, she's from right down the road from where Morgan Wallen's from. She's from just outside of Pigeon Forge, Tennessee.
Is she your cousin also?
She's not my cousin. I wish she was.
Just checking. I didn't know if she was related to Boots also or
she's
no.
Not,
or
me. Why, look at the you remembering Boots' name. You know, Morgan Wallen's new album, relatively new album, if you look at the cover, he's sitting on the porch. You know, that is Boots' house that he's sitting on the porch. My great aunt.
If you are just tuning in, cool. Matt Jones is like second or third cousins with Morgan Wallen, the big country music star.
It's how I introduce myself to everybody. Morgan Wallen's
the third cousin on his grandma's side. Who your grandmother was the sisters with Boots, his grandmother, and there you go.
My grandmother was sisters with his grandma. Yeah, that's close,
I got it.
Isn't it?
Right, yeah. I think I drilled that, didn't I?
Yeah, I think in Britain we wouldn't have even been allowed to marry. Like, it's that close. It's you're allowed to, you know, in Kentucky and Tennessee you could, but not in Britain.
What just happened? Hey, James and Rachel, James Steele, producer, Rachel Robinson.
They both have a look on their face like, look, I'm from there. I can say it, all right? They can't, okay?
They both have their hands in their faces right now and are crying, laughing. Look, when you put two hicks on the radio together, this is what you get.
How casual he threw that out. I barely noticed.
I know, and you guys just sat there and looked at me, and it was like there's this – first of all, for people listening on the radio, all three of you laughed, but you laughed in that silent, excited laugh, and so it sounded like I just bombed the line completely.
No,
and
not
then
at
finally
all.
Everyone did. But
I mean, I was right there with you. As a matter of fact, it's kind of scary. Though, never mind. I was about to tell a story about my cousin Meredith that was
cousins,
actually
yeah.
approved. But anyway, okay, never mind. So back to our regularly scheduled program. So in our pre-show meeting, and the last time I actually hosted a show, we were allowed to be together was a while ago, and Matt Jones and I, and because stuff like this happens, but. you were telling me you were just wrapping up on Netflix the show Wrestlers, which is based on, I called it back then OVC, going to Ohio Valley Conference, but it's Ohio Valley Wrestling. And now I just finished Blue Bloods, and you were shocked that I'm actually watching the show Blue Bloods, but it took me a long time to get through 17 years of a TV show.
That's one of the saddest things I've ever heard in my life, that you watch 17 seasons of Blue Bloods streaming. The Tom Selleck CBS show that I thought was only on in, like, waiting rooms. You watched 17 straight seasons of that show?
After every show, I watched one episode going to bed. Yes.
Isn't that awful?
I loved it.
Really?
Yeah, I did. I really did. So now I can move on because I can't watch more than one show at a time that I'm streaming. Like, I'm watching Shogun right now, which I watched that going back in 1980 when the original came out. I mean, it was amazing. So, and by the way, the first two episodes on FX and Hulu are outstanding. Very close to James Clavell's book. But anyway, so now I'm open to going to watch your documentary, Wrestlers.
Yes.
I'm all in. So,
thank you.
From Tom Selleck to Wrestlers. And then the first question I asked you was, did the awkward date that you had at Jeff Ruby's, did that part hit the air? Is it in the doc?
And as it's so in now, the documentary. The show is called Wrestlers. It's on Netflix. It's by the guy who did Last Chance U. He's now doing a documentary about the Boston Red Sox team this year. So he went from us to the Boston Red Sox. But as part of it, they followed
just
me around.
Flows off the tongue.
Yeah, it's me and whoever plays for the Red Sox. I don't even know. But they followed me around in my life, and they wanted me to go on a date on camera. And I was very hesitant because they said, we want you to go on a first date on camera. So I ended up doing it. And they made it look like I was the most awkward person in the world. It's in episode 3. If you watch it, you'll see. Like, they make it look like I have negative game, like can't talk to anyone on earth. The date actually went pretty well, but if you watch the show, you would think Matt Jones has never once had a girlfriend in his entire life, and I'm still upset at the director, Greg Whiteley, about it. I've said to him, that was not fair the way you portrayed that date.
Was there a second date?
Yeah, we went out for a couple months. It went really well. But if you watch that documentary, you would certainly not have thought that.
I'm all in. Now I've got to – I mean, now it's. I may have to watch all three up until that moment.
Well, seven. There's seven episodes, yeah. So seven episodes. They give a – James, you've seen it. They have a kind of a character arc for me. I start off – they make me look kind of like a bad dude, and then I get
like a
redemption story. Would you agree with that, James?
Yeah, that's definitely what happened. Yeah, it was an arc.
I mean, look,
for sure.
The boss is never going to look like the good, you know, the owner of the company.
No.
So they make me, and then by the end, I think it gets a little better, but.
All right, speaking of owners of companies, I'm excited to watch it. I am. So now that I'm done with Blue Bloods, now I'm on to Wrestler, starring Matt Jones and a date at a Jeff Ruby's. That actually went very well. Now to this. You mentioned bosses. Mickey Mouse is our boss. Close your eyes, and listen to this, because when you hear what you're about to hear, you will think that Mickey Mouse just set a world record in the 400-meter relay. Give us a listen.
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, it was such a strong race. We were all running so fast, multiple running in the 50, so I knew I had to go out fast. I had Lika in front of me, so I wanted to be in front, and I could hear how fast she was behind me, so I was like, okay, this is good. Now we keep going, and this crowd is so amazing.
That is the anchor leg of the Netherlands women's 400-meter relay team. They set a world record for indoor 4x400, and I'm telling you, I had to watch that 7 times to make sure it wasn't fake. Mickey Mouse just set a world record.
That's her real voice. Well, you know, first of all, far be it from me to say anything, because I'm sure much faster than I am. But, you know, so does she talk like that all the time? That's what, like, her normal voice, or she just was out of breath?
I don't have her on speed dial, Matt, but
maybe in season 2 they'll let me go out with her at Jeff Ruby's.
Could you get through a date with that voice?
Yeah, I could. I'm sure she's a nice person. I mean, listen, when you sound like me and you, what room do we have to talk about anybody? We sound like we gargle gravel. Come on, give her a break.
Gargle gravel. My wife said, whenever I get around you, my southern accent gets thicker for some reason.
That's what
so
they
there
say
you
about
go.
Me, too. Well, thank you. I enjoyed bit. It. Thanks to Amber and Ian. It's been fun. Thank
Beat
you to the producers, James
get
and
out.
Rachel.
Go away. See you. I'm watching wrestlers.
Hugh Myers is next.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.